He's able to help you do above and beyond everything you could ask or think of. Don't belittle what you're doing for the Lord today. Don't put it down. Don't think, hey, I could do something much better. Let the Lord give you that much better.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, April 7th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today, Pastor Zoni reflects on the last 45 years of ministry at Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. And our text comes to us from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, I woke up this morning and I told Wilma, we blinked and 45 years have gone by. That's it, 45 years. There's no way I can go back. There's no way we want to go back. And today I was thrilled to hear Andy saying to you and to everybody that I'm associated with a happy meal. That's wonderful. And there have been many happy moments in our 45 years. But I remember how those 45 years worked in my heart and in my life. And the struggles we had when we first came to the church. I'm not going to bore you with details. I don't need to do that. You've heard me. But this is what I want to say. The message that I preached on that 45 years ago is the same message that I have preached several times. And this 45-year anniversary, I am going to preach the same message with some little things. Now, you don't remember the message 20 minutes after you leave, so don't look at me disappointed. I mean, it's just this is a refresher, you know. But it's found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. I think it will come up in the screen. And as you see this, and this is the book of Judges, love. The book of Judges is another book. When you get to be 50, you'll be mature enough. Okay. Here we go. This is the message. Have I not commanded you? Have you ever thought of God commanding you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. And what Wilma was saying, we were terrified. Do not be discouraged. There were moments of great discouragement. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So circumstances don't change. Things are tough. But God is with you. And if God is with you, who cares? Well, that's not the message, but this is where I want to go. When we came here, and as I look at the next years that the Lord may give us, could be 1 year, could be 2 years, we're in God's hands. But this church will be 100 years old in 5 years from today. In 5 years, this church would be here 100 years. And for 100 years, the gospel has been preached in Montebello, and it's been a faithful 100 years. I hope that the Lord will allow me to be here at least alive, to be able to celebrate with you 100 years of this church's mission to the city. But I remember coming here, and on the threshold of new responsibilities, I said, Lord, how can you use me? Who do you use? How can I be a vessel in your hands? Where do you entrust spiritual power, spiritual leadership? And so as I look at Joshua, I find that exactly that. When we read chapter 1, verse 9, it tells us very clearly that God wants us to be strong when we minister the word, when we minister, where we live for him, to be strong. But what does it mean to be strong? How are we going to do all of that? Paul says, who is sufficient for all these things? And as you read through the scriptures, you find that in this passage, God says to Joshua, be strong. And I believe the reason he says be strong is because he was conscious. Joshua was conscious of inadequacy in his life and weaknesses. He never thought he was going to be the leader of God's people. Something that God conferred on him. He was happy being a second fiddle. He was happy being number two in the group. He was not anxious to be the top guy. And yet, God in his providence came to him. And when God says, you're going to lead my people, you're going to take my people to Canaan, his heart failed. And he said, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? Then God said to him, I want you to be strong. And God says that to people who are weak. He says, don't be afraid, which means that he possibly was afraid. He said, be not dismayed, which makes him a quitter. And I want you to know that when God calls you to live the life for him, all of us have the excuse or have reasons to be weak. All of us have reasons to be afraid. And all of us have the desire to walk out, to quit. But I want you to know that no matter if you're leading all of God's people, as Joshua did for Israel, or you're a leader in your own home or at work or at play, you as a Christian, you and I must be strong. You and I must not be afraid. You and I must not be dismayed. I want you to know that if you are feeling that way, there is a God who is there to help you and to make you into a leader in your own time and in your own setting. Unfortunately, sometimes we find, especially in ministry, that some people think that we're too big for God to use us. We think we have it all figured out in life. We think, well, I have this, I have that, I have the other, so I don't need anybody's help. I can do this on my own. But I want you to know that when you do have this sense of inadequacy, that is when the Lord comes and God gives grace to the humble. You may think you're in control, but my friend, my brother, my sister, God has to be in control. And when you say to him, Lord, help me, then we do what is right. We walk away from what the world says, because the world says that the survival of the fittest, that's the one that gets the job done. But it's not the survival of the fittest. It is depending on the Lord in every circumstance of our lives. And we all have different stages of life here. We have young, we have old, we have old, we have me. But at every stage of our life, we have our fears. We have our challenges. We have our difficulties. We have our what's going to happen. And we want to be dismayed, or we think we're going to be dismayed, or we want to just quit. But the Lord wants you and I to remember him. And he wants to strengthen us. And there are three sources of strength for Joshua. And the first thing is that whatever God asked him to do, he did faithfully. And, you know, I don't know what you're doing in the church for the Lord, but I want you to do it faithfully, because that's exactly what Joshua did. When God gives you something to do, cleaning the church, taking care of the plants, doing fixtures, doing whatever God is asking you to do, you and I must do this faithfully. Teaching a class, doing whatever. God wants you to do this right, and you do it from your heart. When you do this, you don't dominate people. You don't hurt people. You work with people so that they can do the right thing. Faithfulness in a few things is exactly the condition that God demands for big things. You know, Joshua spent 40 years in Egypt with all the Egyptians. He was part of the slave group. And another 40 years in the wilderness with the God people that were actually wild. They were savages. You need to know. You read the book of Exodus and try to figure out God's people in the desert. And yet, 40 years plus 40 years plus 80 years, it was 80 years that Joshua was working behind the scenes, serving in things that people may not consider to be very important. And you and I are working for the Lord in different areas in our lives, in our home, raising a family, being good testimony to our husbands, to our wives, to our children, at work. And we wonder, what is the end game? The end game is being faithful where God has placed you. Because you really don't know what God is preparing you for. For all of us have a call of God beyond where we are today. And you and I are in preparation. We're like in a conveyor belt of sorts that is taking us somewhere. And that somewhere is God's perfect will in your life. So the duties of life the narrow and boring things that you may think you do, thinking that you may be worthy of something bigger. Listen, the small things that seem so inadequate and so unworthy are the ones that make you into the person that God needs for his glory and for your fulfillment. Every hour is essential. If God's going to use you, if God's going to do something great in your life, every hour is essential. If God's going to give you a ministry wider than what it is today. And we've all sought God and we've all served God. And in the ministry, I know a lot of my friends that they're in a position of ministry and they're hoping for something else to happen. And there's a lot of people who in the ministry itself now are climbers. And what they want to do is have a position up there or down there or whatever it is. But you and I must have a mindset that the future belongs to God. And thy future in God's hands is the one that takes care of the present. I will serve God faithfully where I am. That's exactly what happened. And Jesus was the same way. Because Jesus stepped out of obscurity, 30 years in a carpenter's son, working in the factory there, making chairs and making tables. And then one day a voice came and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And out of obscurity, Jesus is called into full-time ministry. And the seal of heaven came upon him. So you see, you are working in a place today that God is preparing for a greater sphere of influence. Don't ever get discouraged where you are today, because God has something greater for you. Just be attentive to him and do what he wants you to do. And the Lord is able to fill your life. He's able to fill you with his glory. He's able to help you do above and beyond everything you could ask or think of. Don't belittle what you're doing for the Lord today. Don't put it down. Don't think, hey, I could do something much better. Let the Lord give you that much better. I have done everything in the church. This church, another church, another church. Wash dishes, clean bathrooms, toilets. Actually, I love that. Because it just was so easy to do for me. It was great. You know, now I have this responsibility, which is much bigger. Makes me want to take up Mike's proposal. But anyway, one way. But it's sometimes we think that the things we do for the church are not that important. They are there to cause us to be the people God intends for us to be. And you know what? There is never a year that you spend serving God that he does not use for his glory, because he's able to restore the years that the capeworm has eaten, the past mistakes that you've made in life, the issues that have gone on that mitigate against you. When you say, "I will serve the Lord where I am," and you give it all you have, I want you to know that God has a plan for you. And Joshua was a man who served God. And for 80 years, he was second fiddle. For 80 years, he was doing what he was told to do. He was Moses' water boy. But then one day came and God said, "Okay, you're up next." "Well, what, me?" And so no matter what you are doing today, there are better things for you coming up. But you may regret having those better days, because God will say, "Okay, now you're on. Oh, my God, give me back my old job. Let me go clean restrooms." But God has a plan for your life and for my life. And so I want you to know that if you're discouraged in any way of serving God, be strong and be of good courage. Don't be dismayed, because the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. The great issue here is that God is with you. Now, notice, he doesn't change the situation. He causes you to go through the situation. And you can do that because he is with you. The second thing is this, and I'm looking at the clock. I got another 10 minutes. The second thing is this. First, you're faithful to where God called you. The second thing that happened in the life of Joshua is that he had a very specific call from God. It says, there shall be no man be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and be of good courage. And goes on to say, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Joshua 1:5-6. The second source of Joshua was that He had a call of God. Well, think of it. He was doing all kinds of things which were right, but now there is a distinct call of God. Distinctively, God calls him. And Joshua said, but Lord, Canaan is infested with enemies. You have all those crazy people over there. They're nuts. I went there. I explored the promised land, and it's full of Amorites and Judahites and Democrats and Republicans. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? But when God calls you, listen, how are you going to do the next phase? When God calls you, you're not at the mercy of any one of those situations, because God is the one that is calling you to do it. When you have a call of God in your life, you're assured of victory. So the big issue, the big question is not, am I educated enough? Do I have a degree? Don't we want you to have one if God's calling you to form a ministry? But the real question simply is, am I not qualified, but am I called? Are you called? And how dare you refuse to hear God's call or to activate God's call when he has called you? So calling in your life is so important. And, you know, we deal with future ministers all the time at Azusa and at Facultad. And sometimes we have students who graduate from our schools and they say, I want to be a pastor. And we say, wonderful, that's your call. Yeah, wonderful, okay. Well, yeah, but how much is that going to pay me a month? What's my salary? And there's no salary. No. What? No, just go there. Start preaching. See if you do anything. And people are shocked that there is really genuine ministry. There is really very little money, if any, just enough to get you by. And we've been at this church for 45 years. The other church before that was 5 years. And I've been in the Foursquare Church this year would be 50 years of ministry. And we're not rich people. We're not. But we can pay our bills. I can drive my car. You know, God supplied all my needs, but I never came to Beverly to say, and how much are you guys going to pay me? It just doesn't figure out that way. And I think that this is the problem. Today, people want a position in leadership where they can rule over and can demand certain things. But as Dr. Darino and I have discussed this many times in class, etc., leadership in the church is not really a position, it's mostly a function. You must serve God's people. You don't dictate to people, you serve people. And nothing is more important in your life and in my life to say, am I called to do what I'm doing? And if you're trying to just get a position, if you want to go up the ladder, you need to ask yourself some very, very acute questions, because the most important thing in your life is to answer this one question: am I called in doing what I am doing now? So Jesus, the same way, where did he get his strength to go into Jerusalem? We were just celebrating Easter. From where did he receive the power to go up Calvary? How did he allow himself to be crucified? How is it that they nailed him to the cross? How could he do that? Well, Jesus said very clearly, I come not to do my will, but the will that him that sent me. Think of it. I'm doing God's will. I'm called. I have a specific call. God called me to clean the bathrooms. God called me to do the gardening. God called me to visit the sick. God called me whatever. And when you put God call me, all of a sudden, you do God's will, even if it means to do those things that people say, is that God calling your life? Yes, you do that. He'll go on to say, I delight to do thy will, O God. And Jesus also said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. Let me just tell you, our Lord said, I'm going to do what God has willed for me to do. I have a distinct call in my life. That's a secret of power. That's what sustains you. That's what sustains you. In our 45 years, and I say this with great humbleness, which I don't usually say that, but I mean this, I've been offered other churches, many other churches. Some of you know some of the churches, and some of those churches are huge. I mean, thousands of people. And I have always prayed, Lord, what is your will? And it's not because I like you, though I do like you. I don't know about you, Mike. I'm having second thoughts about you anyway. But anyway, we'll reconcile by the end of the message. But what it's what it is, it's God's will. It's not ascending. It's not getting a promotion, because often those promotions are demotions. You just don't see it. No, when you do God's will, you always land right. You don't cripple yourself. And that's something that you and I need to make a decision in our own hearts. Am I called to do what I am doing? And when you do that, then you're fine. God will take care of you. No matter what happens, it's God's in your life. It's the God life. The God is with you life. And great men like John Wesley, the greatest thing he said is God is with us. When God is with you, who can be against you? I mean, how can you lose? So in my own heart, in my own life, I just want you to understand the importance of understanding God's will in your life and allowing God's will to function and allowing God's will to be priority, not something in the second place, but right there at the front line of your discernment, at the front line of your heart, that you will not in any way, shape, or form take second. Always have this idea that God is first. The third thing that I need to mention to you is that the other secret is that Joshua loved God's word. And the Lord told him very clearly, you cannot work with me and I cannot work with you unless you meditate in my word day and out. And that's it. And I'm telling you with all my heart that when you and I don't have a relationship with his word, when the indwelling word of God is not dwelling in your heart, you're going to be in deep water, because we're doing God's work. And when we neglect the reading and the studying of the word of God, we have a three-legged stool, right? And when you take one leg out of the stool, what happens? You fall. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein and thereout, in day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. God's word inside of your heart. The taking time to read the word of God. Meditating the word of God. That's how you assure to yourself God's presence in your life. When you don't spend time with the word, you're not spending time in the active presence of God, the interactive presence of God. It's God's there, absolutely, but there is no interaction. There is no deep relationship. There is no conversation with the Lord. And you need that. So we have the presence of God that is made real in every single day by the indwelling word of God. What place does God's word hold in your heart? How do you allow God's word to nurture you and to strengthen you? You know, some of us are failing not because God hasn't given us a ministry, not because he hasn't called us, but because we fail to receive direction as to how to execute that life, that ministry. So the secret of power in ministry is to be possessed by the Son of God, absolutely, to be strengthened by his indwelling power, to be filled with the Spirit. And that comes, my brother, one way. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and there is no shortcut to, here's the word, to holiness, which is we separate ourselves from the world and to God through the reading of the word. The word washes you. You know, some of you need to take a very long shower. And some of you may need to take a bath and a shower to get your brain cleaned up with all the, I almost said a word I should have said. It's almost slipped. Well, you know, when you get old, you can slip like that and say, I'm old, you know. But all the crapola that's going around the world. And some of you are infected with the stuff from the world. And the only way you get yourself clean is by reading the word. The word of God cleanses you. But you got to take time with the word of God. You got to do it. There are no shortcuts to holiness. There's no shortcuts in getting close to God through the Word of God. So you need to go down in prayer before the Lord. Find a place. You need to find a place. And the greatest moments in your life and in my life don't happen here in the church. They happen in the privacy of your life, where you come before the Lord behind closed doors. That's exactly what Jesus did, you know. The Lord believed in the authority of the Bible. He used the Old Testament. That was the Bible in those days. And he quoted the Bible as the real basis for marriage. And, you know, I'm going to just tell you the culture today says marriage can be anything, but marriage is between a man and a woman. And there's just no way that we're going to change that. God's word is created as male and female. And he quoted it as the only basis for marriage. And he also quoted the story of Jonah for the resurrection. And even more important for you and for me, when he was tempted by the devil, he didn't say to the devil, "Hey, guy, I'm the Son of God, butt out." No, he quoted scripture. He said to the devil, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And in order for you to say it is written, you must have read it. You must have it in your heart. And you know why you and I fall in temptation? I mean, unas caídas de Padre Señor mío, is because we have not been in the Word. When you're in the Word, God helps you to avoid that. You can say to the devil, you can say to temptations that come, you can say to them, "It is written." And then you quote God's Word, and the tempter goes away. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So you and I need to get this thing going in our lives. I was listening to some old-timer preacher. He's already passed away. And he said, "I'm 82 years old." Well, that's a little bit above my age. I know I look 35, but I'm a little bit more than that. Those who laugh, I'm going to get you. And I'm still tempted by other women. Un viejo verde. And I thought the older you get, the least temptations would come to you of any nature. Are you kidding? The devil is alive. And temptations are all over the place. And what keeps you right and straight is God's word. So we have an elderly congregation, they say to me, "Well, you guys, get your guard up, because the devil's after you. In every area of your life, the devil never ceases to tempt you. And you must have the word of God to resist that." But it's not just that type of temptation. There's temptations just to give up in life. There's temptation to just walk away from everything. There's temptation to be discouraged. There's temptation to do so many things that are wrong. When you are in the word, you will continue the path that God has given you to serve him faithfully. So anyway, I need to conclude because some of you are getting very hungry. I want to know when I'm going to cash that gift of yours. Anyway, but you and I need to be saturated by the Word of God and then praise God. When you're saturated with the Word of God, no weapon that is formed against you can prosper. And every time that's raised against you in judgment, he will condemn. The Word of God protects you, strengthens you. And when the furnace is heated up 7 times hotter, you'll come out okay. But let me just tell you something right now. Weapons are being formed against you. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that the devil's... There are weapons that are being forged against you, but they're not going to prosper because you're in the Word. Because you're responding to a call that God has given you. But they are there. And let me just also say to you that people do speak about you and people do run you down. And you shake people's hands, of course not in this church, because this church is absolutely perfect and holy, the other church. And you think that people love you and you think people are, but sometimes people speak about you, bad things. They cut you. Every tongue raised against us in judgment, he will condemn. When they're going to come, God will shut their mouths up. And he will make your enemies to be your friends. Oh, that's happened to me many times. Because believe it or not, I've had a couple of enemies in the last 45 years. And when the furnace is heated 7 times, It doesn't say that he's going to get the heat down. It doesn't say seven times hotter, okay. Well, but Enrique's going in there. I'm going to just, no, he lets me go into the heated oven. The guarantee is that I'm going to come out, okay. But we're not spared. That's why you need to remember the words that Jesus said. And God said, fear not, I am with you always. So God is with you, he's with me. And so the weakling is made a conqueror. And God is the one who does get all the glory for it. So that's the person that God uses. And in the last 45 years, the Lord has been very good to us. Because in the last 45 years, we have experienced exactly that. And I've gone to God many times with my weaknesses, with my trembling, my fears. And I said, Lord, how am I going to do all of this? But I was completely and totally submitted to the indwelling word of God in my heart as much as I could put it in there. And I said, Lord, you help me, you bless me. And there was a price to be paid, which means I had to go through it. I didn't quit, did not walk away. Look, there's a price to be paid. It's for all of us, but it's okay. Because if you're willing to serve God, you're going to pay for something. But at the same time, the blessings of God will overwhelm you. So two things I'm going to say, and then I'm going to think, I think I'm going to quit. Cancel every responsibility in your life that's against God's will. What are you doing yet you know it's not God's will for your life? Cut it. Just cut it. Lord, give me the strength to do that. And secondly, refuse any engagement that will keep you from meditating in God's word. Whatever it is that's keeping you, cancel it. And when you do that, God will begin to work in your life. We don't practice silence as we should. We don't take our Bible and be silent in the presence of the Lord. But I want you to practice that holiness. Beginning today, take time out of your schedule and say, Lord, give me the strength to read your word and meditate in your word. And when you do that, you will find out that God will bless you and strengthen you. So anyway, that's my 45-year message. I know you were waiting for something else, something to pop out of here and pop out of there. And never had a vision, never seen angels. Well, I'm working on that. But for 45 years, the Lord has blessed us because, number one, we did whatever God called us to do. We never, never, ever, ever complained to God for the things we needed to do for his glory. And that's from A to Z. The second thing is we had a very distinct call to come here. And God never lifted that call. We were faithful to the call, specific call God has given us. And the third thing is we believe in the word of God as the keeper of our faith and the keeper of our lives, that we may serve him forever. I see Sister Anselma here, and I remember one time with her husband, John, who's with the Lord. John, faithful man of God. And he said, I said, John, they're offering me this other church way over there. And I remember talking with him, not that I had any idea of serious idea of not of going away, but he said, you know what, Brother Zani? You talk like that. Brother Zani, you got to be a Brother Ash. And it's worth mentioning Brother Ash. He was the pastor before I came here. And he was spent here 26 and a half years. And I said to myself, 26 and a half years. Oh, God, how could he do that? And I said, why half? 26, what is this 26? Because that half was the hardest of all, you know. And especially it was letting go because it was time for him to move. But he was faithful for 26 and a half years. And Brother John says, you got to be a Brother Ash. And I understood what he meant. You need to be faithful to God's call. And I want to let you know that I am faithful to God's call to the best of my ability. And I don't know how long the Lord will keep us here. But you know what? If I was strong 45 years ago, I'm stronger now. That's not a threat. I know. I am fine. and we will continue to serve the Lord. And the Lord will give us an exit ramp. And when that happens, all of us will do this together with joy. Not because, oh, they kicked them out. No, because it was God's time. Some people have asked me, how old are you? Just none of your business. So I lie, I confess. I said, I'm 55 going on 56. He says, you look good. They would only know. But anyway, listen, just so you'll know, those are three things that we've kept in our hearts. And I pray that God will speak to you and that you will be faithful in God's call, that you will identify that call, and that you will go deep into God's word, and that you'll keep yourself right before the Lord. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, the one-year-old is going to come up now and do something. And yeah, you look so different from that time. Yeah. So does Jennifer, my 50-year-old daughter-to-be. She's fighting the 50, you know, but it's going to catch up with her. Shall we stand? So, Lord, we thank you for many things. Personally, Lord, Will and I thank you along with the children for your faithfulness to us for 45 years. And this congregation, Lord, has been faithful. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. But, Lord, we look now to the future, and we ask that you would give us the strength to continue serving you, Lord, that we will have strength all the days of our life until the day that you call us. But, Lord, we're in your hands, and we seek to serve you, that all of us will identify our call and that we will serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.